The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
And the title of it is, Why Is It Finished? Why is it finished? And let's look at John chapter 19, verses 28 and through 30 is our text. As soon as the finish gets up. There we go. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, and they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. It is meat and it is drink and it is nourishment for our very souls and our spirit and our inner man. And we thank you for it. We're thankful that you preserve your word, that we could have it this morning. We ask that you would speak to us and that we would hear the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts this morning, and that what we hear would transform and change our very lives. We submit ourselves to your Holy Spirit, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. What is it, and why is it finished? That's the topic of this series. It is God's plan. It's the hope of mankind, as I've been telling you for the last 2 weeks. It's the axis on which all of eternity spins. It is the most important thing that we need to know. We need to know this. We need to know about God's plan for redemption and why it is finished. We will, in the weeks ahead, as we've done in the last 2 weeks, hope to define it definitively so you'll understand it. Investigate it and look at it as a multifaceted diamond would be investigated under the jeweler's loop. And we want to revive it. It's a truth that has been buried. You know, if you don't clean something and keep it polished, it loses its luster. And it doesn't take long for things to cover things up. I don't know about you, but I have a nightstand at my house, and I used to know what it looked like. I don't know what it looks like anymore because I've cluttered it. You know, I've got books that I'm reading, and they're just stacked and stacked and stacked. In fact, I was looking for something the other day, and I went and looked, and sure enough, in the clutter of my nightstand, there it was, the book that I was looking for. And so the gospel of grace and the finished work of Christ has been cluttered up. And so what we're doing is we're removing the clutter so that we can see the work that he did. That's what this is all about. And we're going to do our best to live by it. Some of the topics that we have we will cover is how does this affect me? Can I know if I'm going to heaven? What is judgment? Who will be judged? What is death? What is condemnation? Who is condemned? What about law and grace? And what about this old covenant and this new covenant? So those are the topics that we're covering. We spoke 2 weeks ago about why is it all about him? Last week we talked about what happens to your sins. If you were not here for that, I highly recommend that you get that CD or go to the internet and listen to it. It is probably one of the best sermons that I've preached about that particular subject, okay? And also Wednesday night we had a little workshop about that, and we didn't quite finish everything last Wednesday, so we're going to work on it again some more this Wednesday night. So if you can be here for that, it'll be a blessing for you. What's that?
And that's recorded too.
And that's recorded too. Yes, we have that. So if you miss this past Wednesday, you can get that. Just go in the back and ask Don for it. Today's sermon is, why will you go to heaven? Why will you go to heaven? That's a good question. Let's look at our passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Whoa! What a statement that is, huh? The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Remember that when Adam and Eve fell, all of creation was cursed, all right? We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Okay, that's a lot of scripture for us to cover in one sermon. We're going to do our best to do that. There's an old song that says in part, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Man, I love that song. I was hoping we'd get to sing it this morning, but it must have fallen through the cracks, but that's okay. Maybe we'll do it next week, all right? I'd asked Jim to get it, and I guess he, in the midst of all the other things he was doing, wasn't able to do it, but it's a great old song. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Now, I've got to tell you that there are different opinions about heaven. Where is it? Is it up? Is it here? Is it the New Jerusalem? It's just lots and lots of opinions about that. There are opinions about what we're going to do when we get there. You know, the most famous of all is you bouncing around on a fluffy white cloud with a harp. I don't know. Maybe so. Sitting along the river of life with a fishing pole, fishing for fish, or we'll be walking along the streets of gold, or we'll be visiting with all the saints, the prophets of old. You can go on and on, and what you think it may be, but it's not my attempt to define where heaven is, nor my attempt on my part this morning to tell you what will be going on there. That will be a sermon for another day. But our task is to discover why you will go to heaven. I need to tell you just a couple of things by way of introduction. Only born-again believers will ever get into the heavenly realm. All right? I was talking this morning in the new attendees class about this very subject. People have a lot of opinions about that. They believe, well, if you're just a good person, and you don't rob any banks or beat anybody up, and you never have an abortion, and you're not homosexual, and you don't rob banks, and you don't cheat on your income tax, and you're a good husband or a good wife, and you take good care of your kids, and you lead a good life, that God will look at that and smile upon you and take you into heaven. It's not true, but people believe that. All right? They believe if they're just good enough, that God will let them in. They believe if it's sincere enough, even if they're wrong, God will let them in. That's the worst one of all, I think. If you're just sincere, you ever heard of being sincerely wrong? People are sincerely wrong. People believe if you're really tuned in to Allah and you really pray to Allah and you follow the teachings of Muhammad, or you really into Buddhism or Hinduism or all the other ism, if you just have it in your heart and you don't know any better and you believe that God will open the gates of heaven and let you in. It's not true, but you can believe that if you want. You can believe you're a duck if you want, but you'll never be one. All right? You can believe whatever you want to believe. It's just not going to happen. No, you say, and I'm repeating some of the things I said in the class this morning. I've been accused of being narrow-minded. I've been told that. I mean, eyeball, eyeball. Well, you're too narrow-minded. And my response to that is, no, I am not. Jesus is narrow-minded. Not me. I'm just telling you what he said. That's all I know, beloved, is what's in this book. And that's what it says. Now, if you want to believe some of those other things, oh, you can believe that. But don't go around telling people you're a Christian. Don't go around telling people you believe in the Bible. And certainly don't tell anybody that you know what's in the Bible. We are New Testament believers, not Old Testament believers. According to this book. According to this book. Not according to me. You know, my opinions are another thing. But according to this book, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either a believer or not a believer. It's not about how good you are, how bad you are. It's all about what Jesus did when he said it is finished. That's why our banner says that. It is finished. It was done at the cross. That's what this book teaches. And it teaches that whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will enjoy the heavenly realm. And whoever does not believe is condemned to the lake of fire. Oh, that's pretty harsh stuff there, preacher. I mean, you know, this is the year 2009. You know, we don't believe that anymore. You don't need to believe anything. But I guarantee you that's what it is. That's what it is. That's what the book teaches. Okay? So if you think I'm narrow-minded, I am not narrow-minded. Jesus is narrow-minded. I suggest you take that up with him. Oh. I wouldn't want to be there for that conversation. So let's examine it then. Let's look at some of the evidences that can assure us and give us some information of why you will go to heaven. All right? The first thing is that your destiny is in heaven. Your destiny is in heaven. Let's look at verse 18 of chapter 8. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I almost wanted to scratch that word out and change it. We're not worth complaining about when compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. When you received Christ into your life, when you became a believer, the way was established for you to spend eternity with God. Now, let me tell you something. If you really receive Christ into your life, and you've had a born-again experience, you have a very big dilemma. You are destined for heaven. Now, you might decide to change your mind. Well, I don't want to go to heaven. Now, why you would do that, I don't know. You maybe fell off a building and hit your head on the cement, you know. Maybe somebody hit you in the head with a hammer or a brick, you know. Maybe you used to drink some poison and your mind went crazy. I mean, that's the only reason I could think of why you wouldn't want to go to heaven. So that's your destination. That's your destiny. From the readings that I've done and about people, I like to read biographies about people, and I like to look at, particularly I like to look at American history, and people have done things, and people have done great things. You know, most of the people who do great things are people who believe that they have a destiny. They believe that they are destined to do something. There's something special about their life, and they live that way. I read a book that I would highly recommend. It's a secular book. It's written by Gore Vidal, and the name of the book is Lincoln. And it really gives some very interesting insight into the 16th president of the United States. And Abraham Lincoln believed that he was a man of destiny. He believed that he was born to serve as the president of the United States at that time in history. He believed that everything in his life had led him up to that, and that's what he did. You might even conclude that when his destiny was finished, that he was taken out of here. Now, he was murdered. I don't believe that's God's will for him to be murdered, but at least his destiny was completed. He had done what he felt it was in his heart to do. Now, believers know two facts about their destiny, all right? The first fact is that as a believer, you have a work to accomplish here on this earth. You have a job to do. Now, you may do a lot of things, but let me tell you what your most important job is. You know, I talk about moving the clutter off of things so we can get to the gospel of grace. You, in this church, affiliated here with what we believe and what we teach, you have a destiny to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would hope that you've been around here long enough to have gotten that figured out. If you don't have it figured out, come see me and I'll spend some special tutoring time with you to get you where you need to be. But I don't ever want to hear that you sat under someone else's teaching and they said that, well, you know, you need to be a tither. If you don't tithe, you're robbing God. If you rob God, you're going to go to hell. I'll tell you, if you don't go to church on Sunday, you know, you're an unbeliever, you're not going to go to heaven. Or if you did something wrong that you're on the way to hell, and for you to sit there and say, hey man, that's true. Well, if you say that, you have missed the point. I'm hoping you get saturated enough with the finished work of Christ's teaching that you will understand who you are and that you are destined for heaven. And when somebody asks you about it, you need to be able to explain it to them as best you can. And if you can't explain it to them, get a book that will help you to understand. In fact, let me sneak down here to my briefcase for just a minute. Hopefully I don't make the squeaker squeal or the peel or the speaker squeal. But I want to got something here. A book. I'd like for everyone here to read this book. It's called What God Wishes Christians Knew About Christianity. It's written by a guy by the name of Bill Gillum. I'm fixing to buy as many of these as I think we can afford, and I want you to get this book and I want you to read it. It is a very good book. It'll help you understand the gospel of grace in a very revealing way, all right? And I'm going to order these. I'll probably have them. I'm going to try to do it Monday and maybe have them for next week. They're about, I guess, with the shipping and all, it's going to be around $12 or $14, something like that. So I want you to get it, but I don't want you to put it on your nightstand to collect dust, all right? I want you to get it and read it. It's very, very good. The guy's got great writing skills and a way of explaining things. So that's on the part of the agenda. That way, if you got that book and it's got a good index in it and somebody asks you a question, at least you can go run that book and see some of the answers that maybe you might have difficulty with. Okay? But we have a work to do. That's one of the things that we're destined to do. The other thing is that we're destined to shed these bodies and spend eternity with God. Now, you know, we're sitting here, you know, on Sunday morning, you know, and nice, you know, spring day, and, you know, we don't look like we're heaven bound just to look at us. You know, we just look like we're just regular, ordinary folks. I mean, you could put us in a room with a whole bunch of heathen and we'd all probably look about the same, you know. Except maybe you don't have as many ear piercings and nose piercings and, you know, your clothes are a little bit more modest, you know, or things like that. And, you know, maybe your hair's not purple or, you know, but by and large, you know, we look like most of the world. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's true. But that's just looking on the outward appearance. But inwardly, you are destined to go to heaven. That's a done deal. For believers, that's a done deal. You are born again, not of corruptible seed. Your flesh is corruptible, but you've been born of incorruption, of incorruptible seed, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, one of these days, God's going to give me the quintessential illustration that I'm going to see it, I'm going to tell you, and you're going to say, oh, that's what he's been talking about. But I haven't found that illustration yet. But you are not what you appear to be. You remember when Jesus was with his disciples and they went up on the mountain? And, you know, it's Peter and John and Jesus and James, and they went up there. And Jesus looked like every other Jew of his day. He wasn't much to look at, you know. I guess he had a little scruffy beard. He didn't shave every day like we did. You know, we do. His hair probably wasn't cropped like he went to the barber, you know. He certainly wasn't a skinhead. They didn't skin it all off of him. He was a young Jew of his day in his 30s. And while they were there, Jesus was transformed before their eyes. And they saw the glorious glory of God radiating out of Jesus. And boy, wouldn't you like to have been there? Oh, Peter said, man, let's build a church here. Let's do something special, man. This is unbelievable what we've seen. And then Jesus went back to his regular normal form. That's you. That's exactly what you are. The glory of God, the righteousness of God dwells in you, but we just can't see it with the naked eye. But if God would do that, man, if He just let one of us just show just a little bit of the glory of God in us, woo, we'd build a church for you. You know, we'd be calling you saint somebody. You know, because of the glory of God that dwells within the believers. And one of these days, you're going to take this earthly body and you're going to shed it. You're going to leave behind all your sparkling jewelry. Sorry, ladies. Can't take them diamonds with you. But you are going to be a radiant diamond yourself. Where do we see each other? What a moment in time that's going to be, Jim. I can't wait to see it. I'm excited about it. I just thinking about it gets my energy level up that we will see one another and know one another even as we are seen and known of by God today. That's why we ought to treat ourselves better. We ought to treat the people that we know better. We ought to treat our husbands and wives better, and our children better, and our moms and dads, brother, better, and our aunts and uncles, all those who are believers. We ought to treat them better because residing within them is the glory of God. Amen. They are men and women of destiny, destined to spend all eternity with God. Paul was convinced that there was nothing that could deter your destiny. I wanted you to see the latter part of Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life." Now you can just stop right there. If you want to really make a point with someone, you said, "I'm convinced that neither death nor life." That's pretty strong, right? But he goes on. "Neither angels nor demons." So he said, nothing in the heavenly realm, nothing in the evil realm. "Neither the present nor the future," so not what I'm doing right now, or anything in the future, "nor any powers, neither heights nor depths." And then I think he just couldn't find any more words, just my opinion on that. He said, "nor anything else in all creation." It's a pretty blanket statement. The man is trying to tell us something through the Holy Spirit will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What more do you need? Amen. If that doesn't convince you that you're a man and woman of destiny, destined for the heavenly realm, I don't know what can convince you. Say, "Oh, well, you know, I got this problem." Well, you got a problem because this is what the Bible says about you. No matter what your problem may be. If you're doing something you shouldn't do, get rid of it. If you're using language you shouldn't use, get rid of it. If you're looking at stuff you shouldn't look at, get rid of it. If you're acting in a way you shouldn't act, change your ways. But God's love for you cannot be diminished and it cannot be removed. Now you might say, "Well, I just don't believe that, Pastor." Well, get your razor blade out, and I want you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and I want you to cut these verse 38 and 39. Just cut it out. Put a picture of yourself there if you want. Or your kids. Or just do whatever you want to. Put a poem there. You know? Just do something. But get rid of it. Because it's there. Me? I choose to believe it. You know why? Not because I'm so smart. Because it's true. I believe my old mentor in the Lord, James Walter Hickman, said that most eloquently when he said, "I believe everything in this Bible, from the Holy Bible in the front to the bonded leather on the back, you know, everything in between." He used to say, "I believe even the concordance is, inspired by God." I don't know about that, but I know all the Scripture is. That's for sure. Nothing in your life today compares with what awaits you. Suffering becomes joy. Poverty becomes riches, sickness becomes healing, rejection becomes acceptance, ridicule becomes exoneration, mortality becomes immortality, and death becomes life. That's God's plan. But here's the best news. Come on, somebody shout with me now. Here's the best news. You know, that's not in the sweet by and by. That's in the right here and now. Hallelujah. It already been done. You're already seated with God in the heavenly realms. You know, we're looking with the eyes of mortal man, and I'm trying to tell you that God doesn't see things that way. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He is beyond and beyond anything we can imagine. And that's who you are. It's already been done. You don't need to wait to get joy and riches and healing and acceptance and exoneration and immortality and life. It's already been done. I'm looking forward to getting rid of this body one day. I got less pieces to get rid of than you do, by the way. Missing this one arm here. But I'll leave this old plastic computer behind. But in, I tell you this all the time, but I'm going to say it again, all right? You know, you hear the word repent. People say repent, repent, repent. And I know what they mean, you know, you got to be sorry and all this stuff. But that's not what it means. It means change the way you think. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, stop thinking that old way. You need a new way of thinking to get in the kingdom. And this is a new way of thinking I'm talking to you about this morning. It's the thinking of the finished work of Christ and understanding it and accepting it. And it will transform your life. You will live differently. You will think differently. You'll wake up in the morning, you'll look big at your eyes, you know, pride open if you're like me. I don't even like to turn the lights on real bright. And you'll look in the mirror and you'll see yourself with, you know, your little wrinkles and your little scars and all the stuff that you think that don't look nice. And, you know, that's what you see. But if only God could give you the eyes to see with the Spirit, you'd look and say, wow! It's the glory of God in me! That's who you are. It's already been done and finished. You are destined for heaven just as Abraham was destined to become father of a nation. Even though he's old, even though his wife laughed at the whole thing, he said, her womb is shut up. She's an old woman. She can never have a child. God preordained that this man of destiny would be the father of a nation. Even though he tried to do it in the flesh, he did, because of what he did with Ishmael, the war goes on today because of that. If he'd have just waited on God a little bit, but he was destined and God gave him Isaac and we know the rest of the story. And we are sons and daughters of promise of Abraham because he was a man of destiny. Moses was destined to deliver Israel out of Egypt. They couldn't stay there. Let me tell you what, it's a picture of us getting pulled out of this world. You know, they were God's people in the world, so to speak. They were in bondage in Egypt, and that's where we are in this fleshly place. But just as Moses went in and took them out and brought them out of that place, because he was a man of destiny, so Jesus, because Moses is a type of Jesus, comes and gets us and takes us out of this place and brings us to the land that he has ordained for us to be in. He's a man of destiny. Just as Israel was destined to live in the promised land. You know, let me give you a little thought about this. You know, we think about going into the promised land. You know why they called it the promised land? You know why? Because that's where the promise is. What is the promise? The promise is from the very beginning when God spoke to Adam and Eve and said that there would be a seed that would come. And this is where it would happen, where your redemption would take place. And so it is the land of promise. That's why we all have our heart tugging towards Israel. That's why we all always think about the Holy Land, wanting to go there. We'd like to see that place with our natural eyes. It is the place of promise. You know what? But it's more than that. It's the promise that has been given in our heart that we will one day be in that place called the New Jerusalem. The land of promise where all promises will be fulfilled. Paul was destined to proclaim the gospel of grace. He had a fight to do it. He had to get in some people's faces to make it happen. He had to do some correction to people that Peter didn't want to hear. But Peter admitted later that Paul said, wrote some things that were difficult to understand because he didn't get it all. Now you say, well, wait a minute. I heard that Peter was the first pope, so he must have known everything. Well, that isn't true. That isn't true. In fact, historically, there's no evidence that Peter was ever in Rome. Never even got there. And if he was there, certainly when other people got there, like Paul, they would have said, at least would have mentioned in their writings, that we went to see Peter because he's the Pope. He knows everything. Yeah, it's just not true. It's a lot of, it's a religious rhetoric is what it is. It doesn't have any foundation in the Scriptures. Peter knew and had an understanding, but God gave the message of grace to Paul to explain to everyone. They would understand what it is, this great message. He's a man of destiny. Jesus was destined to inherit the kingdom, and we are destined for heaven because of whose we are. You didn't get that. Does that do anything to you, or am I the only person here? Does that make you think different about yourself? You begin to say, maybe I'm not such a rotten worm after all. You're not a rotten worm. You're a person of destiny. God's hand in your life. Man, come on, somebody. You're excited about this. If you ain't get decided, we're going to have an altar call for you to get saved. Let's go on point number two. You are designed for heaven. Oh, my heavens. You are designed for heaven. Let's look at verse 22 and 23, Romans 8. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, the first fruits of the Spirit, that's us, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. When you receive Christ as your Savior, your spiritual DNA changed. And you changed from a sinner to a saint. You changed from a sinner to a saint. That's what happened. You were transformed and made new. Everything about you was designed for heaven. You believe that? I don't know about that. Design for heaven. Man, you talk about designer clothes, Armani clothes, and all the fancy stuff that people have. You were designed by God for heaven. Just as your physical body was designed to live on earth, so your regenerated spirit is designed to live in heaven. David said, I was wonderfully made. In the secret parts of my mother's womb, He made me there. And do you know what? You were designed to live on this planet. I know all of the scientists are talking about there's probably a planet like ours out there in the universe and all that stuff. In my opinion, I don't think it's true, but that's just my opinion, all right? You can have an opinion different than that. That's up to you. But I know one thing for sure. We're designed to live on this place. We work just right. We breathe in the air. It does us good, right? We got water to drink. We can grow food. We can walk on the thing without spinning off into space. Got enough gravity to hold us here. We can reproduce here. We can laugh here. We can cry here. We can be born here. We can die here. This is planet Earth. So much so that your DNA is from this planet. You formed out of the dust of the earth. And to dust you shall return. This is us. We're designed to live here. And we can live here with no problem. I don't see anybody wearing a helmet with special kind of oxygen going in, trying to keep them going. Nobody's walking around saying, I can't breathe in this place anymore. I've got to get off this earth. We all do pretty good here. We like it here. We've kind of, figured this place out for the most part. We figured out how to make wheels, how to do fire, We found out how to eat, kill and eat and grow and plant. This is our home. We are earth people. We are earthlings. We were born to be here. And we're comfortable here. I don't know about you, but I've seen pictures of the moon. I've seen some moon rocks. I don't want to go to the moon. It doesn't look like a place I want to be. You got to wear them stupid helmets, And I always worry about that. If you got that helmet on, what if your nose itches? Think about that. You can't even scratch your nose. Sometimes you really get an itch. You can't even do that. Heaven forbid if you have to go to the bathroom. You got that suit on. You get a hold of that suit, you're toast anyway. So there's no zippers. I mean, I don't want to be in the moon. I don't want to be on Mars. I don't want to be on Jupiter. I've seen pictures from the Hubble telescope. You know, when they put these rovers out there, they're taking pictures. I don't want to go there. You know why? Because I can't live there. I like it right here. I can live here. I am born for this place. Oh, but hallelujah, you've been born again for another place. You've been designed by God to live in another environment that is not this environment. And just as comfortable as you are here, you'll be even more comfortable there. Amen. You're going to be different. So how different am I going to be? Well, I don't know. In fact, the Scriptures don't even tell it. But it's written out. It says, we don't know what we're going to be like, but whatever Jesus was like, that's what we're going to be like. And we got an inkling of that when we saw His resurrected body, right? He could eat. He could drink. He could walk. He could talk. Whew, and he could go wherever he wanted to go. Couldn't lock him out. You know? He'd just go wherever he wanted to go and leave whenever he wanted to leave. He had emotions and feelings and caring and all those things. And he is designed to live in the heavenly realm, and so will you. So you might be sitting around one day in heaven saying, gee, I don't know, I'd like to see what Jupiter looks like. And you could be a Jupiter right there. I guess. That's what it sounds like to me. I don't know why you'd want to go there. Maybe you could breathe there. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't have the answers to that. But I'm telling you, you are designed to live in the heavenly realm. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Man, I love this. Oh, wow. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, everybody say, having believed. Having believed. You were marked in Him with the seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, everybody say, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Man, think about that for a little bit. Man, the Holy Spirit has been given to seal you. You know, we seal things that are important. Somebody writes a document. You know, they used to have the old wax seal. They'd pour a little hot wax on it, and the king or whoever's an important person put their seal on it. I mean, it was an important document. Book of Revelation talked about scrolls that are sealed that only the Lamb could open up. It means there's something important on the inside. Oh, praise God, there's something important on the inside of you. God sealed you with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed because you are important. I know you don't think you're important, but I'm here to tell you, you're important, Randy. You are important in God's sight. He sees you and has sealed you with the Holy Spirit. I know you don't think that. You say, oh, I don't know. Preacher's just kind of going off the deep end this morning. I am. I know I am. I can't help it. I am. But sealed by the Holy Spirit because you are so valuable. And what does it do? It's a deposit. As great as the Holy Spirit is, man, I got touched by the Holy Ghost yesterday. Was with Mike and Pat, and we were in a special class for our pastors and the assistants and, you know, ministers in the church. And this one guy prayed for me, and man, I just got zapped, you know. I just got some of that Holy Ghost anointing, you know. But that's nothing. That's peanuts compared to the whole thing when the whole enchilada is revealed. When we see it all, and we see how we are designed for the heavenly realm, guaranteeing our inheritance. So, I don't know about that guaranteeing. You ever buy a house, buy a car, buy something, and they make you sign on it? And what are they doing? You're guaranteeing that you're going to pay it. The problem with you break your word. You know? Or you lose your job or something else, and you just don't pay it. Say, oh, well, maybe Mr. Obama will take care of me now since I can't pay for it. I don't want to get political, all right? I just want to say, but, you know, we break our word. But God doesn't break His word. He's given a guarantee that you are designed and destined to be in the heavenly realm. That's a done deal. God has already done it. You're like a child that's in the womb. You know, and thank goodness I've never been pregnant. You know, but I've been around pregnant women. That's a scary thought. But you know that little embryo that nobody can see is there from the moment of conception? That life is there. And pretty soon that little heart starts beating. And pretty soon those little toes show up and little nose and little head and all that little parts start showing up. That little baby starts moving and growing and twisting. But it's all done in secret. You know, we can get it. They got these sonograms now. They can take pictures of. Can you see? I've seen those things. I can't make out nothing. You know, there's his little head. Where? Which one? What's this? You know, I can't see that. It's too blurry for me. But here's the beauty I want to tell you. That's what you're just like. You're like in the womb. You're growing. Your little feet are growing. Your little spiritual heart is just beating away. You know, all your little personality is showing up, you know. And I'm looking at you like a sonogram. You know, I'm just looking. I don't know, Kathy. I don't know. I mean, I see that spiritual look in you somewhere. I know God's in there somewhere, but, you know, I just hear a little heartbeat, you know, just beating away like that. But one of these days, oh, glory to God, Kathy's going to get born into the kingdom. I mean born physically into the kingdom at the rapture or at the resurrection and see her in all of her glory. And we'll see what was going on in the secret place of this world. It will be revealed because you are designed by God to live in the heavenly realm. Man, that's good stuff. Boy, if that doesn't get you excited, I'm telling you, you need to get saved. This is good. This is who you are. This is the true reality. This is the gospel of grace. This is the finished work of Christ. This is who you are. People run around worried about sin, you know, do this and do that. Man, and miss the whole boat. Miss the whole thing. It's who you are in Christ Jesus. There's a longing inside of us to be with Him. We long. Don't you get homesick sometimes? You go on a trip somewhere? Yeah, I've been trips. I've been all around the country, you know. I always want to get home. I want to get by my stuff. You know, my stuff. Even going down to see Isabella. As much as I like seeing Isabella, I want to get home by my stuff. I'm tired of looking at baby stuff. I want to get by my stuff. Where my stuff is. My stack next to my bed where I got all my books and junk. You know, my stuff. That's the way it is spiritually. God's got some stuff for you. Oh, man. Oh, man. You think about that. We're sending treasures into heaven. Our stuff's waiting for us. One day you get there, you get to open it up. You say, man, I don't remember sending this up here. Oh, my gosh. You didn't even know about it. You sent the treasures of heaven where neither moth nor rust nor anything corrupts it. Nobody breaks in and steals it. And God's just making piles for you like presents under a Christmas tree. Already there for you in the heavenly realm. Now I tell you, sometimes this is the way I feel. This is the way I feel. Now, it's just me. All right, it's the way I feel. You know, I don't care about all that stuff. I just want to get to heaven. I don't care if I get a crown. I don't care about getting none of that stuff. You know, I don't care. But you know what? God cares. He cares. He wants us to have more. More than you can ever imagine. And in the heavenly realm, that's what's going to happen. You'll have more than you can ever imagine. Now, I'll tell you what. I want you to write this down in your memory. One of these days, when you all get to heaven, you're going to remember this sermon and say, holy God, that pastor was right. He was really right. He was speaking the truth. And when you see it, you say, man, I wish I'd have paid more attention. I could have had a better life. But I just believe that. But I just believe that. Does it keep you from going to heaven if you don't believe? No, it just makes you a little bit miserable while you're living here. If you don't get it. If you get it, you can have fun. I mean, you can shout. We'd have to install chandeliers so you could swing. You know, you get so excited. We'd have to be, Don reminded me, I forgot, we're preaching over there and we had our building over on Fremo. I got so excited one time, was walking across the front chairs and I had some loafers on and I flipped it up in the air and put a scuff mark right on the ceiling. People came in there, wouldn't know what that scuff mark is. Don told them that's where the pastor was walking on the ceiling. You know? But doesn't this make you feel good? Doesn't it do something on the inside of you? You know, that's what Christianity is supposed to be. It's supposed to be feeling good. You know why people don't come to church? They don't come. Ain't nothing good happening. You know? Hey, you're not having any fun. Oh, I'm playing on the road to heaven. Yeah, well, I'll get on another road. You're having too much fun. But you're talking like this. You say, well, maybe there's something going on. Why are you so happy about? What's going on with you? I said, man, if you could see the inside of me, you wouldn't be asking that question. But you'd see the glory of God dwelling in me. Yeah. I said, well, I don't see the glory. I said, well, man, just come along with me and I'll let you find out about Jesus Christ, and you can be born again, and you'll begin to experience the glory of God. You can have a down payment of that. You can have the Holy Spirit in your life. Woo! Man. I'm so pumped, I was going to let you go, but I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to finish this sermon. I know I'm overtime, but I tell you what, when I'm overtime, we need this overtime. They can go home and listen to Fox and CNN and ABC and RBX and XYZ and all that stuff, and they ain't do nothing but bring you down. This is the best news you're going to get all week. Your heart's desire is to be in heaven. Romans 8, 24 and 25. For in this hope we are saved. I love this. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Now, we don't see it yet. We don't see it yet. I mean, we're trying to get some imagination going here. He said, who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In other words, we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to that great day of redemption. We'll be redeemed out of this world bodily as well as being spiritually born again, even at this moment in time. You will never truly be happy here. You are no earthly good. I can just walk out here and just tell people the pastor said I was no earthly good. I'm just no good. You're no good for this earth anymore. You're hopeless around here. You'll never be happy here. You're looking for happiness in this place, you'll never find. You have been ruined by the Holy Spirit. You're never going to find what you want here. You can have 26 babies, you can have 26 houses, you can have 26 cars. You can have a Ferrari. I'd like to have one to make me feel so good, but it won't. I want another one. If I had one, if I had a red one, I'd want a black one. You know? It wouldn't be enough. If I had a Rolex, I'd want to have two Rolexes. I'd want to have an Armani watch or something. I don't know. I'd want something else. I never have enough on this earth. Do you know why? Because this place is not my home. And I'm never going to be happy here. I kind of get along, you know, and I'm feeling real good right now, but I'll probably walk out here and I'll just be so tired for over-preaching like I have, and you'll be walking out here and your ears will be ringing with all this stuff going on, you know, but I'm never going to be happy here. I have not seen what I'm going to be, but my spirit is longing for it. There's a hope inside of me. And that hope isn't like I used to be when I was in school, hoping I could pass the class. That's not the hope we're talking about. This is a hope of assurance that we know whose we are and we know where we're going. Not because Pastor Morris said, because it is in the book. What? I'm not telling you anything that's not in this book. I'm not telling you anything that's not true. I'm not making this stuff up. This is the truth of the Word of God. Paul said to live is Christ. And then he says something really blows your brain. He said, but to die is gain. Why? He was longing for another place. He was longing for a city not made with hands. Something, all the skill that Mike Walker's got to build things. Mike can't build nothing like this. He can't do it. Only God could do it. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Prepare a place for you. For you. That where I am, there you may be also. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. That's what he said. He's preparing a place just for you. A special place. You know, you ever think sometimes when you get to heaven that Jesus is going to be so busy talking to everybody else that he won't have any time to talk to you? You ever think that? I do sometimes. That's foolishness. That's just dumb foolishness. Because God in his majesty will be able to spend all eternity with me. You ever feel bad when you go someplace and you always sit in the back and all the fun's in the front? You know, you'd like somebody to call. You know, we go to this prophetic conference, and I hope you go tonight, and other people get called on. Say, you know, I have a word for you. You know, and the prophet will say something. And I'm sitting there saying, what's the matter with me? In fact, George Shelby was with us last night, and George had on one of those African shirts. I mean, it was real bright and red. And I thought, just telling you the way I think. I'm a little weird. I thought, man, they're going to see George. They're going to prophesy to George. And I'll be right next to him. They're going to see me, too. They didn't have a word for George. Not a word. Man, I wanted to be in front. I wanted to be part of it. That's what heaven is. Being in front all the time. Those piercing, loving, caring eyes of Jesus will be on you for all eternity. Speaking to you. Saying, hey, Priscilla, I love you, girl. I was thinking about you. I saw you in all those quiet times when your heart was broken. I was thinking about you. But I knew I had a better day coming for you. It was going to be a glorious day, and you're going to see it all. That's the kind of Savior you got. He's waiting for you, even now at this moment. Just waiting for each of us. Looking forward to that day when we shed these earthly bodies and we see Him face to face. Face to face. We don't get to see a lot of important people in this world. But we will one day. Paul said, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. The world will never understand you. You're going to go out of this and you're going to go talk to your lost mom and dad and aunt and uncle and brother and sister and co-workers. And you're going to try to tell them about this, and they're going to think you're the wackiest whack who ever walked in the face of the earth. What a crazy thing to go around believing that kind of stuff. The world will never understand you. Doesn't want to understand you. Because if it understood you, it would understand how wrong it is. It'd understand how wrong it is. That's why you mamas and dads, you make sure your children are brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That you teach them the truth. That they won't fall into the world system. That they'll know because you watched over them. You have the revelation of Christ in you. Your sins have been forgiven. I talked about that last week. Not some of you sin, but all of you sin. You have a new spiritual DNA. You know, when you're born on this earth, there's nothing much you can do about it. You can't crawl back in your mother's womb and say, I don't like this place. A lot of babies, I tell you, I saw little Isabel. I think she'd like to get back in her mother's womb. It's too cold where she was, up in Indiana. Freezing cold, 14 degrees for a little baby. Lost a little warm place in her mommy's tummy. You know? Let me get out of this place sometime. Ain't no going back. Once you're here, you're here. Same thing it is with the spiritual realm. Once you're born again, there ain't no getting out of it. You have a destiny. You're designed for heaven. Your desire is to be with God. And you have no confidence in the flesh, but put great confidence in God. You know why I'm so sure about all this that I'm telling you? I told you the other day, one thing I got this one right. I don't understand a lot of stuff, but I got this right. I just know, inside of me, that if it's left up to me to do anything at all, to add to the finished work of Christ, I will burn in the pits of hell forever and ever and ever. Because I know me. I know that I would do it wrong. I'd get something messed up along the way. I'd say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, have the wrong thought. If I'm responsible for myself, I am in deep trouble. I have no confidence in myself. None at all. So, well, you look pretty confident this morning. No, I'm just confident in what I'm telling you. Not me. There was a song a while back, I think Amy Grant sang it. She said, talked about wearing the armor of God. She said, inside this armor, the warrior is a child. I get scared sometimes. I'm worried sometimes. I look around. I get scared. I get chills about what's going on in this world. I mean, it looks strong on the outside, but on the inside, man, I'm quaking and shaking sometimes. But then when I go to the Word of God and I hear messages like this, it builds me up on my hope, most holy faith. And I begin to think, hey, what am I worried about? I'm in control. Who cares if the economy goes into tanks? Then God can't take care of me? David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed out begging for bread. I'm not worried about begging for bread. You might have to give me some. You know? Gold and silver have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Gold and silver. Doesn't mean anything. But the Spirit of God means everything. It's everything. That's where our confidence is. God will give you the desires of your heart here and in the hereafter. You know why God answers your prayers? Not because He has to. Because He wants to. You know why God doesn't answer some of your prayers? Because He knows how much trouble you'll get in if He does. I'm so thankful God hadn't answered all the prayers the way I wanted them answered. That'd be a big trouble. Every once in a while I'll ask for something I shouldn't have and He gives it to me just to prove the point. And I say, okay, I got that one. Be of good courage. Take this message and let it burn in your heart. Get excited about who you are in Christ. And remember, as I told you today, you are destined for heaven. You are designed to be there. And it's your inner heart's desire to spend all eternity with Christ. That's who you are. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Woo! Hallelujah! Man, God is good. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we rejoice in you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that this message that we've heard, I believe, directly from the throne of God, via the Holy Spirit, to my heart, to every heart that's here, Lord, and that this message will carry with us all the days of our lives. And on those dark days when the sun's not shining, Lord, on the days when things aren't going the way we think they should go, on the days when we get concerned and overly concerned about this place, we'll remember we're heaven bound. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. I forgot. Thank you. Today is birthday. I forgot. It's the first of the month. What month is this? Oh, you got to play. Well, we'll sing it. After we do our happy birthday, we're going to sing this, all right?